finish up the next hour and a half or so you can get home early. But take your Bibles and turn to Matthew, the 11th chapter. And I heard somebody talking fearfully before the service began. Didn't our piano player this morning do great? Wonderful. Yep, sure did. And let me say this. I heard Brother Danny Hillard mention that he's going to be preaching. He's going to be questioning him. I'm not going to encourage you to call Brother Hillard as pastor. I'll leave that for prayer and leading of the Holy Spirit. But I will say this. I've known Brother Hillard ever since back in, I guess, the 70s, haven't we? Friends with them all those years, and love Brother Hillard. And I will say that if the Lord leads him to Grace Baptist Church, it will be my delight to have him close enough that we can fellowship with him regularly. As it is now, we meet at special services and conferences and places like that, but you'll even if you don't call Brother Hillard as your pastor, he will cause you to love him. He's that kind of person, he and his wife. All right, Matthew chapter 11. This morning we want to preach on discipleship. Discipleship. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and run with you. Find meek and lowly in heart, you'll find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. As we come to this scripture and our text and topic, let's first lay a foundation for our message on discipleship. Our text is taken of me. Discipleship. You know, we find the word disciple no less than 29 times in the New Testament. And discipleship concerns a brother. So, in verse 25, at that time Jesus answered. And one of his comments was, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It concerns the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and a wonderful personal relationship with him. In other words, a wonderful God-given position to Baptist churches. The word disciple has its root in our English word discipline. We are lives and become good disciples of our blessed Savior. Verse 28, come unto me all heavy laden, and you rest. In the world, labor leads to being physically worn out, tired. But in God's spiritual realm, labor leads to rest. Come unto me, he invites us. Talking to saved people. An invitation for us as his children. Members placed by his grace into one of his wonderful blessed churches. We're free to come under the blood. You rest. It is the voice Him. I'll give you rest. They that wonder shall renew their strength. They shall know and not grow weary, they shall rest and not faint. See, the promise awaits all. It's a red. Isaiah 26:3 says this. Thou keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because in Psalms 57:1 he said again, yet will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. In Psalm 73:7 he says again, because that these are found and as we come to the message on discipleship, we dare not rather. Where we get as God's children, members of his church, to become disciples. Each of us is to be a disciple. And Matthew 28 gives us our directions and disciples. Learners, doers, observers and doers of God's great truth that are brought remember that but you know, he said, but some doubted. May I, which of these categories do you fit in? Worshippers or doubters? Oh, teach that you doubt. I pray this message will help you and erase your doubts. He said in the beginning, and we'll see that later in our message. Now, isn't the Lord gracious in how easy? I don't know if you do this, but our church does. As the preacher is preaching this morning, people all to listen to that message are we have another ministry. Within 40 miles of has opportunity to listen to that message. And in that, they're encouraged to come to church. They're encouraged to receive our messages that we send out monthly by mail. And then we also support missionaries. We help churches that are in need of our help. We're to do this. We're to evangelize. Then what's the second thing? You know, this is not intention. We're to baptize. That was given to the Lord's church. Baptize, evangelize, and baptize those who are saved. We have a devotion book that we're going through this year. 366 daily devotions. In all dying, whipped, banished from their homes, my family on my mother's side was an outgrowth of the Walt Disney movement in Europe, Germany, Britain, when the persecuted. So eventually my mother's family came to Kentucky and they started five churches. As the community would grow up, they would start a Baptist church there. What was all that about? It was all about baptism and Lord's Supper. That's a Baptist thing. We're the Baptists. Observe to do things and teach them. That's the third thing. Baptize. And then they go, well, help those people. When they baptize them, start and teach them. Teach them to observe today. It says in Matthew and the other Gospels. Verse 29 says, hey. Is God I'm an old and you probably never saw it. Used to buy little calves. When they were like, he was trying to and they shared in the money. Here in the not with the local mayor of this town. With God now. Look in Philippians. Chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And start reading in verse 3. You think about that. Yeah. But look now, look in Matthew 16. And look in verse 24. And this is the same idea. Then said Jesus, we are to bear his cross. We are to walk as disciples. Now, that leads us to this. Did you ever think about this and ponder upon it and see the great truth of it? Did you know discipleship involves what did Jesus say here in this text in Matthew 16? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now look, is this hard? For it's not the cross. And it's not is it hard to grasp, to understand? We deny ourselves. All the pleasures of life. All and remove crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm a God. Self-identity. Now let me, in another place in Luke, it says, he that loveth father and mother is not worthy of me. He that loveth sons and daughters are not worthy of me. Now look, we are of which we have a strong natural God. Brother Prater, what was it your wife said about coming to church today? Stop from weeping. What was she weeping? Because there's that natural love and attachment. No way is the Lord preachers. I know a missionary that took his children to a boarding school and would leave them 2 or 3 or 4 years at a time. So they got through high school. Why? The Lord called him to a full mission field. He had to go there and do his work. Can I say this to you? I've got 4 sons. The youngest one is 39 years old. You know what? Those boys saw everything. They saw all the houses that we went in there to preach to. They saw people on drugs. We went into homes. And I took them with me. To minister. Why? They're part of my ministry. My wife is part of my ministry. No one. Our family. Because we put God first and family. But we are not to neglect our family for what we call the sake of following the Lord. See what I'm saying? Sister Prater is grieved over the baby. I don't think you could find more better example of what I'm trying to say than that. Do you think that through her grief and prayers and the prayers of Brother Prater and this church and others that are praying because of that great love for that little tiny infant, that God will answer and heal the baby? Maybe he'll use me. Maybe the doctor will need to do surgery. We have a natural family. He says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And God made Adam, and then he made Eve. And he started the first of which we all have a human family. But we all one truth through five. He blesses with all in Christ Jesus. Having chosen the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in life. Having predestined under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. In Romans 1:15, the Lord says, "For God has not given us a spirit of bondage again to fear. But he's given us a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now let me read to you if you want to turn there. Galatians 4:4-6. But when the fullness of time was come, God and God set forth the Spirit of his Son in our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore God, and if a son, then an heir of God, through Christ. Now, consider with me God's principle of love to verify our apostleship. We have an earthly family, but we have a spiritual family. And we want to go on into this and consider God's principle of love. Matthew 22:36-37. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, what are that it excludes and supersedes all. He sent the by the Holy Ghost given to us. So what say? Well, in this, rejecting the temporal, the attachment to our earthly family, for which is our spiritual family. Are we to love? Yes. But we're to love God more. We love Him supremely. Because of our loving attachment in response to His loving attachment to us. So, look back in our text at verse 39 and 40. Well, I turned away from the chapter. We're to lose our life to gain our life. But if we spend all, we're going to lose our life. Does that mean death? I believe it goes beyond that. If we lose our life in Him, it's going to be a life of blessing. If we lose our life, then we'll lose our blessing. Look now at the third point. See, this involves personal practice in daily life, application to our own personal daily walk. Can I do this and still love my family? What did I say? As our children grow and get saved, we involve them and show them exactly what the Lord has showed us through the teaching in the local church where we're members. We involve them in discipleship. What was it that Paul told young Timothy? That which thou hast learned among many brethren, commit them to others. Why? So they can practice in daily life being a disciple. In Acts 1:8, you receive power. Here we go. Both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost. That's the promise of the power to do it. Can we do it? Yes, we can. God will give us the love and the grace and the compassion to do these things. So that's Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, we won't take time to read. That's familiar. Remember this. The Holy Spirit fell. And the language which they were born. What was that evangelizing? And then, Peter stood up and preached them. And they fell and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter shouted, what they should do. He showed me. Now, if you want to turn, this will be down the end of our message. Look at verse 41. Then they saved, baptized. What were they baptized to? Into the church. Picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of the Savior that they were preached about. And the same day, 3,000 souls. Now listen. And they bread and prayers. What were they doing? They were teaching them to observe all and you get over and look at that. But great persecution came upon the church, which was at Jerusalem. What did they do? They went everywhere preaching the gospel. Someone made the statement in the first 30 years of the existence of the church, after the return of Christ to glory, the gospel went out to all the known world. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 is a means. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and we'll close. And read with me verse 13 through 16. Paul and to Timothy, till I come give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Let not the gift of the Zindi, which was given thee by the prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate. And them, I guarantee. I've got a message I preach from time to time. Pass it on. Pass it on. People don't come to church to get saved. People go, church members go to the people, give them the gospel, see them saved, and bring them to church. Oh, I'm not discrediting people getting saved in a church service. In my own personal experience, I was saved in my home. I was saved before Thelma. In her personal experience, she was saved in her home. Why? There was a man in a trailer park, trailer trash at that time. About 250, 300 trailers in that park. And this man from Fort Baptist Church, miles up north, that is his mission field. He introduced me to the gospel. He prayed while God was doing his work. And God did his work, and we were saved. We went to First Baptist Church, asked for baptism. And here I am today, passing it on. You know how that works? While I'm preaching, there's a young man up on the altar, closing up a service, preaching the gospel, encouraging people to be saved. He's the pastor of that church. You know who that little fellow is? He's our baby boy. And I pray that we have others that follows on to follow after the Lord. What did I tell you? In 1774, 1775, One of my grandfathers came to Kentucky, a Baptist preacher. And today, here is a great-great-great-grandson preaching to you. Why? He passed it on. Did I inherit it, preacher? No, that's not what I'm saying. It passes from one generation to another through discipleship, through going and telling and going and showing and telling. That's the way God works. May we be true disciples. Love our homes and families and love God. And take our children with us in becoming saved and disciples. God bless the day. Thank you for the message. Bless our hearts to follow on, to follow after you, to become good disciples. And Lord, there's no secret disciples. There's no word of God for that. We're all proclaiming the Savior that we love. And may we love him enough to proclaim the love that he's granted to us in grace. For we pray in thy name. Amen. All right. Thank you. Lord bless.